Welcome to the Frantastic Franchising Podcast, with conversations about entrepreneurs exploring franchise ownership and finding a business opportunity that's a perfect fit. Brought to you by FranServe, the world's largest franchise consulting and expansion organization. Back on the Frantastic Franchising Podcast today, it's Alicia Visconti of FranServe. Hey, Alicia.
Hey there, Jack, and hello, Thomas.
Hello.
Thomas Scott of Home Run Franchises. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me. It's always good to chat.
Alicia, let's jump into today's conversation with you and Thomas. Thomas is doing a lot of big things in franchising these days. What do you want to know about the most?
Well, you know, thank you very much, Jack. And that's one of the reasons I wanted Thomas on this podcast. Obviously, he and I know each other from franchising, and, you know, he's doing a wonderful job in helping people understand what's happening with franchising, you know, as the future unrolls and what's the role in responsible franchising. So I really wanted to hear his insights and for the audience to understand, you know, where we're going with franchising. So, Thomas, if you could shed some light on that, that would be great.
Yeah, thanks, Alicia. And responsible franchising is kind of a buzzy word. It's not something really new, though.
No.
I think if you go back 20, I mean, I've been in franchising 25 years, like founder run, you know, slowly grown systems were the norm. You know, people would grow a franchise and make money when their franchisees made money, and you lived and died by how good your franchise relationships were, and you had to treat people as adults and be respectful to you. Your job as a franchisor was really to be a servant to your franchisees. They're your customers. And, you know, with the advent of all the FSOs and the private equity acquisitions, we kind of got away from that a little bit in our industry, particularly over the last few years, and have had some, you know, not so awesome things kind of happen in the franchise industry. And so I really like that there's been a real, you know, a really nice kind of turn of events where companies like yours, FranServe, where your brokers are really looking for, you know, the right franchise fits for candidates and looking for things that they think are grown sustainably, not something that's going to add 200 units and there's no chance that owner's going to be able to train and support those franchises. You know, getting into what's really ethical for a franchise buyer, because franchising, you know, has really come mainstream. I mean, like, this is the era of franchising right now, and it's with all the young folks, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more with your assessment on that, Thomas. You know, when I got into franchising, I mean, it's only 10 years ago, but when I got into it, it really, the emphasis was, you know, why I still get up every morning, right? Changing people's lives, helping people become entrepreneurs, getting them out of, you know, being a corporate America, you know, hostage, right? You know, an employee. And so that's really why I got into franchising. What we're about at FranServe, as you said, I mean, you know, our first core value is integrity is everything. So I love growth, don't misunderstand me, and I love to see where franchising is going, but we're also big believers on, you know, let's make sure the franchisees are supported. And I'm sure you can share some of your wisdom on that.
Yeah, you know, I think that you have to start with why would somebody buy a franchise, and like what's happening in the universe right now, particularly in the United States, where you have just massive amounts of people really thinking about franchising in new and interesting ways. And now for years and years, decades, probably most of our careers, you're much younger than I am, I think, as we kind of get through it. You know, people were buying a business when they got out of a corporate career. They got to the point in a career where they couldn't go any further and they would buy a business as the next step. And, you know, that's not the majority of the buyers we're placing. I have these whole new buckets of people, different personas, the things like, you know, kids that are getting out of business school and they're 22 and they're buying a business with their Gen X parents. And, I, you know, that makes up about 30% of my franchise population in our brands. And they're by far our best top performers. Like, they just zoom past the people my age. And it's interesting. And that's like a whole nother bucket of people that were really kind of overlooked in franchising or marginalized. Like, they, you talk to a 22-year-old right out of college with no business experience, you go, there's no way they have money, there's no way they have experience. But it turns out they're amazing franchise owners. They're coachable. They're looking at, you know, if you're in your early 20s and you're a Gen Z buyer, and they make up almost 18% of the buyers from what I can tell. So it's really kind of grown significantly. It's a really rapidly growing group. they're looking at this, do I go get a job in a cubicle farm and pay my dues and do the traditional thing? But I could also, if every time I look at social media, I see all these people like Gary Vee and all these kind of business folks, Alex Hormozi and that kind of group, like saying, don't do that. Don't waste your life working for someone. Like, and they have this like jobs are for losers kind of mentality, and a business, owning a business of any kind, and a franchise is the Cadillac version of a business, is seen as plan A, and the job is just a device to get you to plan A. Like, it, so that's new. Like, I don't remember, I'm 54, when my friends like felt, they ended up running businesses when they dropped out of school and got in trouble, or it was like what, like the, like the, they were living in a van down by the river or some kind of strange thing. It's like, it's interesting. So I like that whole kind of group of people. There's also just, I talked to candidates, a lot of them from Franserv, that are in a business. I mean, we have an, we placed from you guys through one of your brokers that we really like. A woman who's an anesthesiologist nurse, and she has her own practice, and she makes $500,000 a year. She's a highly paid, highly trained nurse in Denver. She bought an up closet from us because she's like a lot of medical professionals just tired of the whole industry. And they weren't really like looking to work with a broker. She was looking at businesses for sale. I think we probably got her from some kind of biz by sell advertising through the broker, but she's an amazing operator. She's talented. She's late 30s, early 40s. She's not like, she's got plenty of time for a whole nother career, and she likes design. So she's going to run a custom closet business in downtown Denver. And she's doing great. She's a good salesperson. She's got good skills. Like, those are, there's a lot of those. If you look at the number of people looking to start a business today, like, we in the industry, we only recruited 15,000 people in all of franchising last year in 2023. Like, and Jack and I make jokes a lot when we talk about how all the franchisors have this list of usual suspects. It's the same list. We're all just recirculating the same list of the same names. But that's 15,000 people. But there's, according to the SBA, there's 25 million people looking to start a business this year, like 25 million. And I look at just in my service segment for home services, things like Dan and Dan Claps and Aaron Harper, we're all kind of in the same mastermind group, and we do similar things, all revolving around home service. If you look at Home Advisor slash Angie's List, there's 465 categories of home services that they generate leads for. There's enough for seven franchise systems in each of those categories. Well, that's 7,000 franchise systems. We have maybe 10% of those populated. So the growth in the industry is just enormous. Like, we're just going to keep growing, keep growing, keep growing. So I'm sure you see that in the work that you do with all the brands you work with.
We do, and it's what you said, right? The younger generation, which I love. I love passing the baton. I love helping them come into business, right? In my early life, I was a life and career coach. So I have that, desire to see people just ace everything. And there it's like you said, it's choice A for them, right? They want to be movers and shakers. They want to change the world. They don't want to follow the norm. And, I was labeled a disruptor the moment I came into franchising. So I gravitate towards that and to try to help them. And I joke all the time that people still don't exactly know what a franchise consultant or a franchise broker is. I joke that there's never a 10-year-old who says, "Hey, when I grow up, I'm going to be a franchise broker." But I know I'm going to hear that eventually, right? That's coming around too. So it is amazing to see, innovative new minds, out of the box thinking, really being attracted to franchising. And of course, they're very affordable now. So that opens
They are.
to a
They've
lot of
gotten
people. Yep.
much more. I mean, you can get one of our franchises. We have SBA funding through a vendor we got through Franserv, another like awesome reason to work with you guys. And our, to put 10% down, $10,000-$15,000, you end up with a large size service business. It's an amazing thing, how that works. I really like that we see more young people getting in, and it's really interesting to me. One of the really rewarding things is to get somebody who's that age, and 2 or 3 years later, they have substantial business acumen and they can run any business. And if you teach somebody in their 20s how to run a franchise, even if they struggle and fail and have make mistakes and all those things, by the time they're 30, they can do anything. Like, they could certainly be a franchise consultant. I think one of the real interesting opportunities for people now, if I was a consultant and I was trying to figure out how to help people, is that because there's more than one new franchise system in the US starting a day, it's like we have this like record number of new systems coming in, which is great because, again, there's 25 million people looking. So the market is there and the customer service is there. I think that helping people distinguish between a mature and an emerging system is where a consultant really shines, because anybody can buy Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or Wendy's or, you know, some, like, if you think service, you might think like a ServPro or California Closet. So things that are just more or less sold out, you can't actually buy them.
Exactly.
And so, but those are the brands that have brand equity that people know. And so a consultant can say, well, that's a really good business, but there's zero opportunity for you to get into it in your market. But here's four other ones that are very similar in the same market. Two of these have availability. Maybe we can explore those. And like that's, but helping somebody understand back to the whole sustainable kind of ethical franchising, do the people leading that franchise know what they're doing? Are they off to a good start? Or is when you look under the hood, is it solid? You know, because franchise salespeople who are franchise salespeople, you know, that's what we all are. We love to sell things, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you have to really look for somebody who cares about their owners and is making a value proposition that, hey, like, here's where we're strong, here's where we're not strong. This is the kind of person that does well in the system. And if this isn't you, that's nice. Aaron Harper and I had a really interesting from Rolling Suds, had a really interesting, because he's going after these super high net worth people who are manage the manager type of models, and they hire big staffs. And, you know, I'm going after a little more of the owner operator or the person that's new to business ownership. And our structures and systems are totally different because we're trying to train and support people at different levels. And so I think a consultant can help you understand the differences, like, well, like, here's a culture that you fit in. Like, this culture is nice. You know, good consultants really know a lot. The consultants I've worked with at FranServe just really know a lot about, they know about my family and my dogs and everybody on my team and what our office looks like. And, you know, they kind of, they're into what we do. They follow us, our videos, you know, it's kind of fun. You know, like, we're not just a number on a sheet. Like, we're an actual person, and they take the time to, so you're like, well, I think you might enjoy working with Thomas and his team. Like, that looks like it might be a fit for you. And when you get that kind of matchmaking, I think it really kind of takes off, because people, you know, they want to buy a business. Like, they're wanting somebody to give them good advice. And I think that's where you guys shine.
And I appreciate that. And thank you. It's a team effort, obviously, with everything. Yeah. But we really do emphasize culture, because as a business owner myself, if it's not a good fit, it's going to be a bad experience for the new franchisee and the franchisor. And then that's their first impression, right? Was I made a mistake and franchising isn't right. And so we'd rather, you know, really steer the person in the right venue. And I always say that's why they make more than vanilla ice cream, right? Everybody has a flavor. Everybody can fit in, you know, where they want with that. And I think that's important in selecting a business, because we help them, so to speak, date, right? And then they get married, right, to the franchisor. So that's a long-term relationship typically. So we want it to be right as well. So I appreciate your insights on that.
Yeah. Alicia, what's your advice when you're working with somebody to look at a franchise? Like, what are the things you look for in a franchise opportunity?
Like, when we're working with our investors?
Yeah, you were working with a candidate, somebody who's looking to buy a business, like, what do you tell, like, what is FranServe in general? Like, what advice do you have for somebody looking to buy a business? Like, what?
Yeah, I think the first thing we do is, you know, we give what's called the RISE assessment to make sure that they're a good fit for franchise ownership. I mean, there are people who are almost too entrepreneurial, right? They are not going to follow the system. They want to own a business. And then as soon as they come into franchising, they're going to tell you all the reasons of why you need to change things.
Right. There's two of us on this call are in that bucket.
So yes, I would probably, you know, be a terrible franchisee. Oh, I know, yeah, I'd be fired.
I helped franchise Just Love Coffee, is a local Nashville coffee chain, and I opened their first three locations. I love that brand. It's a great brand. But I told him kind of jokingly, like, I'm really going to be your worst franchisee. I'm really a bad franchisee.
Yeah, I know. I'd be a terrible franchisee.
We went through like 5 years of ownership and had a great experience. And we sold them. I said, see, I told you, you thought I was kidding. And they're like, no, you really were. But I was also the top performer, you know, like,
right. Of course you were. Right.
Yeah. But it was also a great place between a good business, but also something you are passionate about, and you wanted to spend your day in a coffee shop. What I wanted to go back to real quick for both of you is, it feels like there's this trend of getting away from, you know, you can make a fortune being a franchisee. You know, that's sort of the messaging we saw 20 years ago. And Do you see a correlation between not necessarily saying we're going to make a fortune, but you're going to have a lifestyle that suits you better, or you're going to, Thomas, like your note about the person who wanted to get out of the medical industry and get into something that she enjoyed more. Do you see a correlation between that
Yeah, I think
and the new generation?
that's such a smart point. One of the really hard business lessons I had to learn as a business owner, I've been a franchisee in five systems, I've been a franchisor nine times, was that you really have to pay attention, whether you're a franchisee or a franchisor, to what generates energy for you. And the things that generate energy make work fun and make it go fast and make you much more successful and create momentum. And so if you get into a business where it's just like a sucking the life out of you and it's boring and you get burned out, chances are you have the wrong structure and systems and stuff. So I tell people, like, there's this big trend, and if you watch the SMB kind of version of Twitter or X, or kind of get on TikTok or even LinkedIn, there's a whole like line about like the hot thing to do is to buy what they call a boring business, like invest in a plumbing business or like, I actually think those are really awesome businesses. They're not boring at all. But people have this idea that trades-based businesses are maybe boring because they're not, sexy or attractive as some fun business, like being a franchise broker or something like that along those lines. And so I think that teaching people also that it's okay to do a business in something you really love. Like, I loved coffee. I grew up in New Orleans. Like, I'm a coffee guy. I have a commercial espresso machine in my house. At least if you come to my house, I do latte art and the whole nine yards. Like, I'm
You
a little bit
love
more. Jack's been with me. Jack drinks black coffee. It's like the most disappointing thing in my life.
it.
Like, I got all the stuff to do amazing coffee. He comes to the office and he's
I
like,
like coffee
I have a
flavored
Keurig.
coffee.
Yeah, so he's the most boring coffee guy.
You can decorate mine, Thomas. You can definitely decorate mine.
I'm all over it. But I think it's okay to have a business that you is in something you love. Like, this woman in Denver loves design. She watched HGTV. She's a Southern girl. She's like, this is right up her alley. And my wife ran the coffee shops and hated it. Was an amazing manager and operator, guest lover, staff loved her. We had high performers. They were run to a T. But she was miserable, like burned out. Just, she said, when we sold them, she said, if we do any other restaurant, we're getting a divorce. Like, it's not happening ever again. So she ran our first closet franchise. We morphed from that to them. It's just the best business she's ever owned. She loves it because it's fun to her. And when you have fun, it generates energy. So you got to find, I think that's where a consultant could really help you, is understanding the things that are important to you. And I have conversations with my candidates about, tell me about the life you're trying to design that you're going to use this business to do. Like, what does it look like? And, that helps me kind of give them some feedback. So there's also a really interesting trend. You probably have seen this, Alicia, where buyers are buying early retirement businesses in their 40s and 50s, and they're moving to the beach 10 or 15 years early and running a beach business or somewhere like in Florida or in the mountains. And they're like, they just don't want to wait. They don't want to pay their dues that long. And there's a whole scope of franchises that do really well. Things like Airbnb prep and, property management and all kind of food and coffee. There's all kind of concepts you can run. And, you just have to decide what kind of business you want to run. Is it fun? Is it in wheels? I don't think that's a bad thing. There was a while in franchising where we were, teaching people to run businesses that were just straight up profitable and not really pay attention to what you liked. And I think that we've swung a little bit back. At least that's what I see. I don't know if you see that or not, to get something you love too. It needs to be both.
And I will tell you, Jack, I don't think they're mutually exclusive, right? I don't think it's either or. I always think it's and, right? Find something that you enjoy doing and make money at it, right? You can do well by doing good. So I think that people are looking a little bit more generational wealth as well, right? Looking to franchising as expanding into not just what they're doing now, but getting their children involved and leaving it and that kind of thing. So I think you have to marry both of those concepts, right? Businesses have to have the numbers. You could be wonderful and love it all, but you could be a starving artist, right? Kind of thing. So you got to be able to feed your family and take care of the life. But I do think that you see both. You do see people who want to be, and excitement is different, right? Everybody spells excitement differently, right? What I find exciting might be boring to someone else. So I think it is important because it is going to be ideally, roughly a 10-year commitment. with this brand. So you have to look at that. But I will tell you, my biggest takeaway from this is that Thomas said that franchise brokers are sexy, that that's a sexy. So, Thomas, for that, I thank you very much. I never thought of it like that, but now I'm going to run with that.
And
You
now
should.
we have a hashtag for this podcast episode,
We
sexy
do indeed.
franchise
I mean, I
brokers.
think you teach somebody to, I have six kids and they're all entrepreneurial. Even my little ones think about it that way. Like I told my kids, it's like, look, if I don't do anything else as a dad, and I'm a mixed bag when it comes to parenting, you need to learn how to grow a money tree in your backyard. And the quicker you can learn how to do that, then you can do anything the rest of your life. And other than just get off the dole at the Scott household, and like be on your own.
That's the
And
real goal, right? You're trying to
real goal.
set them all up in businesses
Yeah, get them
so
ready
they
to
go
launch and
off.
launch them the hell out of there. Yeah, that for sure. But the but I think as a franchise broker, it's almost like having kids and being a parent. Like you're really helping people do the thing that they want to do that they're scared of. Like people have so much fear around business ownership. And I think one of the things that social media has helped with is that just in general, the idea that a franchise is less risky. Now, I get called a lot. I'll say sometimes on videos that, franchises are generally or typically can perform at 40% higher rate. And that's just an arbitrary number based on my own experience. Like I've seen where I just think the idea that when you run a systemized business and you don't spend half of your time building the systems in the business, you spend, 90% of your time operating. Just in every industry I've ever looked at, my comparables, like when I ran coffee shops, my businesses were twice the volume of the independent guys I was friends with. In the dryer vent space, that's true. In the closet space, that's true. I've never seen an industry where that wasn't true. So I think there's a lot of value in helping people mitigate risk through franchising. It doesn't mean that it's risk-free and that, that you're going to experience 40% gain, but I
Yeah,
had
and
a
I also have to give my hat off to franchising. I mean, I've opened businesses when I was in my 20s and right out of, grad school and after modeling. And, I was blessed, I was successful, but man, it was a hard journey. Like if I had known what
Sure,
I
sure.
know now, because you have to wear every single hat and hope that the hat you put on is the right one, marketing and logos and trademark. So I have to say it's such a pleasure to help people get into franchising because it fulfills that niche of they do not want to be, stuck in the cubicle, but they're never going to take that big leap because it's so daunting and overwhelming to just open, mybusiness.com, So franchising is that bridge, man. It opens a whole different world and universe to them, and I feel very grateful every day. That's in the end what we do. We really, really change people's lives through franchise ownership.
One of the things with millennial and Gen Z buyers, which I think there's this divide, the 45 and under and the 45 and older, they speak different language. It might as well be Republicans and Democrats. They're so polarized in the way they look at life in general. And I have both younger and older people on our corporate staff, and they don't speak the same language. It's really interesting to see. But I think it's really important that the social fabric part of a franchise is more important to younger buyers. Like they don't want to be alone. They don't like the loneliness of running your own startup business. Like it's really scary. Like when you're on your own, you don't have anybody. When you're in a franchise is like the social network version of business. Like it gives you this whole other like interconnectedness to other franchisees, people doing the same thing. It's a team sport, you all wear the same jersey. And that's kind of fun, especially in the remote work era where we're not around people. We're just not around people enough. And we all have lost our people skills. And so I think that that's a real selling point for a lot of people for the franchise model. It's just that whole our outcome that we focus on, and I preach this culturally, internally to my staff all the time, is like number one outcome is we have to have happy franchisees. Like they have to be happy. Like they have to be profitable too. Obviously, we don't want to be starving artists. But if you have profitability without happiness, you lose people and you can't validate and you can't grow and scale. And people, well, there's just too much tension. So if every outcome we do, we look through the lens of, is this going to make people happy? Like honestly, like it's if it makes my bottom line better and it infuriates franchisees, it might not be worth doing. Like we might have to come at it differently. And I think that a consultant can help people navigate that and determine, like through validation, which ones are in the bucket that you would fit in and which ones you aren't. I think it's a real valuable service.
I thank you, and I appreciate that tremendously. And I will tell you, my talk about happiness and teams, and being, their franchisees. My husband says that, of course, a happy wife is a happy life. And I always say a happy team is a CEO's dream.
Oh,
And so,
there.
that goes along with your franchisee being happy and their team and, and all of that together, because we are the franchise family, right? And it's what you said, culturally and psychologically and monetarily, we're all related. So I have to 100% agree with you that I do love the Fran fam.
Yeah, I learned what I'm about to say from Patrick Spann, who's a really fabulous recruiter for TeamLogic. I think they're a brand that you guys work with. Amazing guy. He said he and I ripped it off and I use it in every one of my sales processes. But he said one of the things that you tell people when they're going to do validation is tell franchisee prospects, like, ask this one question. Ask every franchisee you talk to, how does this company handle problems? Like when things go off the rails and there's an issue, how is it handled? And do you get a nasty gram from the lawyer with a default notice and a copy of the agreement, or does something else happen? And I explained that to my staff. Like, look, I want them to say honestly through real world that when we have some problem, like I pick up the phone myself and call them and say, hey, like, let's work through this. Like, let's get something that works for both of us and tell me what's going on. Because sometimes what they're really upset about isn't even the core issue. There's something else going on in the background. And so I think a good, well-run, ethical franchise system puts culture primarily at the front, and I think culture drives financial performance for me. Like I've seen the direct connection with that. People love their business. They're more aggressive. They're like an energy attractor. It's like it just sucks people in. And so I think, but how would you know that with there being 4 to 6 or 7,000 brands in North America now? Like, how would the average person know of, the 25 cleaning businesses or 70 home care businesses or 50 different restoration brands, or God knows how many junk brands there are today? Like, there's so many. Like, how would you know? Like, because they're all going to sound good. It's like when you walk in the showroom at the car dealer, all the cars look pretty, but is that the right car for you? I think that's where consultant can really, really help. I think younger buyers don't probably see as much value in consultants because they're used to doing their own self-directed research. We call them the YouTube generation. So I think that's an opportunity for brokers to learn how to communicate with younger buyers more effectively, using things like video and being trendy and podcasts like we're doing now. I think there's a lot of ways to kind of get messages across. I sold my first franchise off of TikTok last month. We were super excited about that. Like, literally got a qualified buyer in Boston for Driving Superheroes off of TikTok. It's crazy.
Awesome. And I agree with you. I think your vibe attracts your tribe. So, you put out that you want to help, the younger generation, and you market to that, and you follow through, because they know when you're not being sincere. I mean, we attract them, and I think that's exactly the point, Thomas, that you made.
Yeah, awesome. Good deal.
Well, I hope everyone listening has a fantastic day.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.